Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
The little town of Benicia, California is a big-time center for the arts and artists. In addition to an abundance of downtown galleries, there is an entire neighborhood that's expressly targeted for artists and artisans. How the town came to be a magnet for the arts community was propelled subsequent to the closure of the U.S. military's Benicia Arsenal back in 1964. The arsenal had been a key player in America's national defense since before the Civil War. When a developer proposed to repurpose the former military installation as an artist live-work community, his idea was met with enthusiasm, and today there are more than 50 artists who maintain live-work studios in former military warehouses, a literal from swords to plowshares transformation. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me at the Old Arsenal for a conversation with key players in the Arts Benicia world. We'll meet up with Mark Eanes in his Arsenal Combination Studio Residence. Eanes is also an instructor at the California College of Arts and an Arts Benicia board member. Later on, Larnie Fox, a former executive director of Arts Benicia, and Jeff Tover, an Arts Benicia board member and working artist, will join the conversation about the artist life at the Arsenal and Arts Benicia's ongoing programs that include exhibitions, classes for adults, art experiences for kids, open studios, and more. Mark Eanes.
I teach at California College of the Arts. It's a fine arts private school in San Francisco. Drawing and painting courses primarily.
You also have your own studio, and this is where we are right now.
Yes, here in Benicia, about an hour north of San Francisco.
Tell us about the former arsenal. It'd be a classic artist ghetto of sorts, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the architecture in the arsenal is a larger expanse. It's actually many, many acres that encompasses a number of buildings, many that go back to the Civil War. So you have some really beautiful architecture here. And then, of course, this is a deep water port out here. It's one, I think, of only four or five deep water ports in all of California. So we get this enormous ship traffic coming in, and then we get these great views of the Carquinez Straits and then the hills beyond. So it's a wonderful little spot.
Tell us about the artists here. This is a whole community, a whole, almost a little town of artists that have resettled here at the old arsenal.
Yes. I was living in Oakland, the East Bay, prior to being here. This goes back about 20 years ago. Had a fire in my studio and break up with the relationship all at the same time. So it was just like one of those moments where I say, I gotta get out of Dodge. Heard about a place out here in Benicia, so I drove out here. It seemed like it was really far away from the East Bay or San Francisco. I mean, that's kind of the nice things about Benicia. It's in half an hour from the East Bay and an hour from the city. So it's just far enough away and yet close enough. And when I came out here, I discovered this arsenal. It wasn't full of as many folks as it is now. I was one of the first arrivals, but it still had quite a few people. Now, I'd guess there's probably at least 50 or more artists in this specific area right here, many of whom are live work. So you've got painters, writers, musicians, glass people, sculptors. You've got the whole gamut.
Is it limited to or targeted to? How does it happen?
Well, I think that the original deal, as I understand it, was that Andy Allen, who was the original developer, approached the city and said, you've got these buildings down there, they're quite beautiful, they're just sitting there. He approached the city as a developer, brought them up to code, and said, let's make them specifically for art or artisans. So that was the original deal, was that you really had to be a practicing artist or artisan to live in this neighborhood and to be here. And they're pretty much held true to that to today.
And so they're almost all live work?
Maybe half, because you've got three huge buildings here. And then you have the other building, 940, which is on the other side of things. So altogether, you've probably got, you know, well over 100 or more artists, but maybe half of those possibly are living and working.
Since it's a live work environment,
yes,
is it exclusive or inclusive to people beyond the art community, somebody that wants to visit an artist or buy art?
Twice a year, we do what's called Open Studio, in which we open our doors to the public. You see, around December 10th is the one in the winter, and then the first weekend in May. So that's an opportunity for the whole public to come down here. We swing our doors open for 2 days. We turn our live workspaces, or even just our workspaces, into a sort of a gallery, clean it up, organize it, put all the work up. People come by. Mostly they're just curious, but sales also happen.
Is there a festive sense to the period?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Oh, yeah. Everyone here in the neighborhood, you can just see everyone getting excited to get the place cleaned up and spruced up. And then, you know, we get together afterwards, have a little soiree, what have you. But then Arts Benicia is the gallery below here. That's also been here for about the same amount of time, about 20 years. It's a member-based organization, something like 300-plus members. We get funding from the city, because Benicia is known as a destination for the arts. We also get some grant money as well. In years past, I was on the board of directors. I was the president for a few years on the exhibition committee, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've kind of backed off a little bit because I've been at it for 20 years. I'm just ready to, you know, let new blood direct what's going on there. But it's a great organization.
So is there a gallery down there?
It's a beautiful gallery. It's a really beautiful space.
And that's open pretty much every day to the public?
Not every day. It's open about 3 or 4 days out of the week or by appointment. It's always open on weekends. So we have probably 6 to 7 shows per year. There's always about 3 of those shows are for the members themselves, and then we have a fundraiser every fall. That's the fundraiser, which is the auction. It's a regional art center, and that's a really important point and a distinction to make. So it's sort of on par with, let's say, the Richmond Art Center or the Berkeley Art Center. We don't have as much money as those folks do, but the shows that we put on, the shows that we curate, are on par with any of the really top regional shows. So we've had, over the 20 years, some tremendous talent out here from all over the Bay Area and beyond.
Do you think the disproportionate disconnect is because there are more artists relative to the smallness of the community?
It's pure demographics. We're just in the very far northern reach of the Bay. We don't have the deep pockets that other places do, like Marin or East Bay, things like that, San Francisco. But, you know, hey, we've been at it for 25 years, and we're still putting our shows together. So I think that speaks to something as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And is it a growing, dynamic community, or has it kind of reached a stasis?
That's a really great question. To be honest with you, we need young blood here. But someone was making a very interesting point about that. You know, we are in the northern reaches of the Bay. A lot of the artists here are like myself. They're middle-aged or even beyond. There are a few younger folks here. But, you know, if you're a young artist in your 20s, maybe 30s, you want to be in the heart of things. You're going to be in San Francisco. You're going to be in Oakland, Berkeley. You may not come out here to Benicia. You know, maybe once you hit your 40s or something like that, you're looking for a little quieter situation. So not to say we're comatose out here. There's a lot of stuff going on. But we honestly could use, in my estimation, some young blood. I would love it myself.
Well, I think the exorbitant cost of rentals in San Francisco is going to start driving some young people out this way out of necessity, if nothing else.
I think so, right. And if Mare Island ever opens up, you know, in terms of that kind of thing. The other problem, too, is that it's not a problem, but the other reality is that many people like myself, that we don't want to leave here. So it's hard to get into these spaces.
Okay.
These are spaces that...
Coveted spaces.
Very coveted. If something opens up, there's not a waiting list. It's always word of mouth, and we're on the phone to someone saying, hey, a space just opened up. It's very, very competitive. When people come here, by the way, for Open Studio, people who aren't that familiar with the situation here, the scene, they look around, particularly artists, and they go, wow, what a great setup. What a great scene. So they're envious, you know, when they see the neighborhood, the view, the spaces themselves, the light, you know, all of it. And there's talent. There's some serious talent down here.
The rent for you guys, is it attractive?
It's very attractive. We've been very fortunate. It's been well below market value. Now, that is going to shift and change. We have some new owners. They just painted the building, new property managers.
That's a bad sign.
So we're all waiting for the other shoe to drop. But even in, you know, even I just talked to someone, a neighbor just an hour ago, and I've done the math. Even if they raise it X amount, I couldn't find anything. You know, they'd have to be outrageous, egregious, greedy for me to want to go anywhere else. So, you know, I'm prepared.
Talk a little bit more art. Get down and dirty with the art.
The funny thing is, when I first got here, I got on a bike, and I just started driving around town, and I could smell something was going on down here. I could smell.
Was it linseed oil?
It was linseed oil. Yeah, exactly. And solvent. And I came down here and I met a bunch of people at the gallery, because I had heard there were artists out here. I heard the Benicia was kind of a best kept secret for art and artists. But
so it was rumor and the mystique.
You ask a lot of people who don't know Benicia that well and say, oh, aren't there a bunch of artists out there? I mean, just kind of the word gets out. So yeah, some very talented folks, many of whom are close friends of mine, people who have been at it for many, many years. Some are trained on to school, have a couple degrees. Others are self-trained. But typically, the work is quite strong here. And we get together sometimes and just hang, have parties, go to each other's studio, look at the work, talk about it. I walk my dog, Georgia, every day around the block at least twice, and I can pop in on someone's studio, see where they're up to. That's special, you know, to be able to do that. If I'm working on a piece of work and I want someone else's eyeballs on it, I can go down here to my neighbor, Linda Relief, for instance, and say, hey, I want you to take a look and see what's going on, vice versa. I'll pop my head in her studio, take a look. And these are people that I respect and admire, so that's really critical.
That's cool. And again, for somebody like myself, with an interest and curiosity about the arts and artists, yeah. I'm coming in as an inbound visitor.
Right.
How do I find you? How do I access it? And when do I come?
That's a good question. I mean, come have a seat, guys. To answer that question, as you can see, my doors are open here. And a lot of people's doors are open here throughout the day. I'll give you just an example. There is a friend of mine who, when I didn't know him, he was just walking by here with his wife, and they were literally just kind of poking their heads around. Well, my door is open, and I got the music playing, and
you attracted them in.
Well, they were attracted by the area, and they were attracted enough to just kind of come by. Next thing you know, I'm having them come in, we're having a conversation. Turns out he's an artist and a curator, and it went from there. But I think this is a safe place. So people do feel comfortable having kind of an open door policy, if you will. And I think people that do come down here, you know, if you're curious, it's not that hard to connect with someone and say, hey, can I see what you're up to, or make an appointment, come back. So, I mean, by and large, people are pretty open about that. So like I was saying, in terms of Arts Benicia, I came here about 20 years ago, and I was sniffing around, came down here. At that time, the executive director before Larney was a woman named Catherine Weller Renfro. And Catherine, and I met her and a woman named Hetty DeSuyo both, became fast friends, got on the board right away, got involved. And then as an artist, I enjoy curating shows as well. So between Catherine and myself and Hetty, we put together quite a few shows. I've maybe put together 10 shows over the 20 years or so. For instance, just as an example, we have a children's arts program. That's a show called The Next Generation. That's been going on for many years. We showcase work from the kids from K through 12 here. That's been part of the series. Just as other examples, we've done shows with people who have disabilities. There are a few art places here in the city, a Creative Growth Center, for instance, in Oakland, ARC in Solano. And these are young adults with, again, disabilities. We put on that show. We had a show of prison art, art that's done in the prison systems through the William James Society. We had a show once that showcased hot rod bikes, low riding bikes, you know, from that community, kite making. I mean, the list goes on and on. Archives down there that just go for just many, many shelves of all the archives that we've had. We just, about a year ago, maybe less than 2 years ago, we celebrated our 25th year. So myself and two other people curated a show. We had over 110 artists from all over the Bay Area in this show. Many of them were top-ranking, you know, blue-chipped artists. So, but that was, you know, Catherine's vision. She was really incredible that way. She was here for about 20 years. When she was no longer the director, then Larney came in and stepped in place, and he's been fantastic as well to kind of carry that mission. And he was, well, he can tell you about his own history, but I was on the selection committee. We had 65 people from all over the country applying for that position, and we gave it to this gentleman here.
My name is Larney Fox. I'm former executive director of Arts Benicia, but I've had a lot more time in my own studio, so that part's good. Well, one thing, Mark's been really good about covering the gallery aspects of Arts Benicia. There's also been an ongoing adult program with some wonderful teachers and lots of students learning.
Right here at the Arsenal?
Yeah. We have two spaces right below us. One of them's a gallery, the other's an education studio.
When do those events take place?
They're usually evenings and weekends, occasionally some daytimes. There's also children's programs, a summer art camp that we just started last year. We have after-school classes, a few of those running, and family art days where scores of kids will come with their families and do hands-on projects.
So there really is a dynamic outreach then. It's not just a static, inclusive place.
There's a lot of community engagement, a lot of outreach. We also have a program called Arts Benicia Presents, which brings art to different venues around town, some local businesses, City Hall. We provide the art for City Hall.
Do you ever harness guys like you to go into the elementary schools from here?
Yeah, Mark has done that. And yeah, sure. Yeah,
just a few weeks ago, I went into one of the elementary schools and worked with fourth and fifth graders. And I've done this before. And a number of artists here have done that.
I imagine that's really rewarding for you.
Fantastic, yeah, it's fantastic. Kids are great.
They have not forgotten that they're artists yet.
Yes, haven't been stifled yet.
Can I share a real quick funny anecdote on this note? Some years ago, I was doing a demonstration, I was drawing a botanical study, and I had all my gear laid out, all my tools, and they had different groups of kids coming in. They'd spend maybe 20 minutes at a time to watch this drawing develop. This one young boy, probably 8 years old, came up and looked over the tools that I had there, and I explained, oh, this is a charcoal stick. He goes, I know. I'm an artist also.
That's
in a very knowing way.
This is a real visual arts town. There's a really high percentage of visual artists here and a really high percentage of really fine visual artists. But it still has a small town vibe to it. Everybody knows each other. If you go out on the street, you're generally going to see some people you know. And a real strong sense of community and community engagement. Politics, the arts, you name it. A community will turn out and support it. Even though, it's a middle-class town and there's no real deep pockets here. We have to scrabble for funding with a lot of volunteer and people throwing things together. We're able to do a kind of world-class show here.
You get California arts funding from the state? Or
that money has been gone for a long time. It's just come back and haven't tapped into that particular thing. We did get some funding from the Creative Work Fund, and we built a temporary sculpture down by the waterfront in an effort to influence the city's planning process for the waterfront and some other projects along with that as well. So we've been able to bring in a little bit of grant funding, but the bread and butter is really memberships and tuition and art sales and donations, private donations,
Jeff Tover. I'm on the board of directors for Arts Benicia, and I've been on the board for a year and a half now. I've been the lead on the Open Studios Committee and also our annual art auction, which we do in September. It's one of our highest revenue generating events we have during the year. Last year we did a themed event which was showcased around the Great Gatsby era. About 300 people came in costume, and we had a live band. The owner of First Street Cafe usually provides food for us. The owners of the Relic Tavern on First Street do our bar. And we usually have about 100 or so artworks that are available during the auction. We select about 18 to 20 of those items for the live auction.
Do you do a silent auction?
Yes, we do. This last year, we actually sold about 90% of the pieces that were up for auction. So it was a great evening.
So that's probably a real primary funding source then.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it comes at an opportune time for us too as well. And actually this year we're planning on hopefully a larger event as well.
Tell us about some of the other things that might happen throughout the year that people outside of the community can share in.
Well, aside from Open Studios, we usually put on two or three themed exhibits. This year, for example, we have Robert Ray, who is a curator from Sacramento, and he's actually been doing quite a bit of work here in Benicia with Arts Benicia. He is curating a show of collage works. They're basically works with paper that are torn, sometimes incorporating paint, ink, different variety of medium, and he's done small pieces, large pieces that we have coming up in July. We also do ceramics shows as well, glass art as well. So it's very versatile as far as exhibits we put on during the year.
For people that want to come to the area, the one-stop place to find out would be your website, right?
Yes, artsbenicia.org. And a lot of times we advertise in town. So if you're coming into Benicia for the afternoon on a weekend, you can go any of the many venues on First Street, which is our main street in town, and you can get information on what's going on. Every second Saturday, we do a art walk throughout the summer. It's usually very well attended.
Right here at the Arsenal?
Actually, it's on First Street.
Okay, so it's where does the art appear? Where do you see it?
It's actually, we have, I think, 4 or 5 galleries now on First Street. And it's expanding as we
How
speak.
How about street art?
Sometimes, yeah. We do. Actually, some of the venues that are not necessarily galleries actually will allow artists to go ahead and sometimes do demonstrations. They'll go ahead and, you know, exhibit some of their works for sale. It's a nice interactive event for people to come into town, aside from open studios, to meet and greet with artists.
Really cool. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing. For further information,
artsbenicia.org.
This has been fun.
You have to come back again.
I love it.
The Underbed techno music was performed by Michael Carlin.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of 4 recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning, and Lauren Hayes is our technical assistant.